Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. When the teachings and traditions say to us, being or presence, well, there's already being. See, and we can't make that come about. And the good teachings will say that. The good practices will show it to you. You can't make yourself be. You already are. Presence is already here. And the most you can do is just notice that it's already here when you're being pointed to it. You can't just embody it in that moment. Most people do not embody it, in fact. That's actually very, very rare. And Adi Ashanti made that point, actually, that all the people that he's seen through the years, that it's very rare in any generation. And I agree, very rare, because I did like 16,000 or 14,000 sessions with people through the years. It's rare for a person to be involved in a spiritual practice or something or pointing, and they become fully liberated in one moment. What really happens, guys, is that some shift happens, but it isn't fully embodied. But the shift is an authentic shift to the experience of being. A felt direct experience. So it's real for them. And then when we teachers teach from that, we're teaching from something that's very real for us. And you can trust us to that extent. But when you look at this, being is so all-encompassing. Truly. We can't talk about being apart from being ourselves. We can't become a being or beingness that eradicates, destroys, buries, suppresses, represses, or resists thoughts, feelings, sensations. Because then that's not being. That's just being resistant to life. Suffering. So if you've been around long enough, I think both in spirituality and science, you know that being and allowing it all is where we need to start at the very least. I think some people think it's the end point, but it isn't, because some things you can't allow. Buried emotions don't arise. So those buried emotions, as science says, create a lot of suffering that we see in our lives. The stuff that comes and goes to awareness is being created or produced by something that's unconscious in that moment, conditioning that buries emotions right there. And that's what we have to contend with when we talk about being, is that being includes it all. So being, when we point to being, you can't just point to the entire unconsciousness that's here. And what we do then is we point to being, but then it's not embodied. See? But if it's not embodied, if that being isn't, if the body isn't also seen to be none other than that being, like fully seen to be, and that just means the suffering ends, really. It doesn't mean the body's going to live on forever. It just means the suffering that's created by emotional repression ends. There might be other suffering that comes from a genetic thing or some accident or injury or whatever that continues on. But the suffering that's created by emotional repression can end when we focus there with this work, if we're earnest and we stick with it. But being, can't point to that. Not the true embodiment of that. And we shouldn't water it down by pretending that we can. Because then that just is a big bypass. So when people keep saying, well, don't worry about the body, or it's not an embodiment process, they're staying safe from actually recognizing and living and embodying what being or presence really is. They're using spiritual stuff, and we can all do it, to literally, the repression conditioning uses spiritual conditioning to avoid buried stuff, like the consciousness does. You see it all the time. The thing is, can you see it in yourself? Being must include the body. And the body keeps the score on all the suffering. So if being or beingness includes the body, then we end suffering. If being doesn't include the body, then we don't end it. Then we have being with suffering. Right? That's what the teacher say. Just be with your suffering. Being with it. I'm just sitting here being with my suffering. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. Being. I remember as an anger repressor, I thought, well, if you lived as that, you'd just be quiet all the time. Well, of course, because you spent your whole life staying quiet because you're an anger repressor, Scott. Of course you're going to say that. Because being includes it all. You could say, well, doesn't it include the suffering too? Yes, but it's not embodied then. So then there's still suffering. So whenever there's still suffering, that tells us that we're not really living in and as being. We're, it's okay. It's just a, it's like a pointer back to how we're creating suffering again in being. And maybe even using spiritual stuff like being to avoid that or other spiritual stuff. People would say it's radical to point in a way that just relentlessly shows someone that all there is being. But it doesn't, that doesn't relentlessly show someone there through a point, that through a pointing. That they only, we only see what is safe for us to see. That's evolutionary research, that we don't experience reality. We experience what's safe, the fitness payoffs. In KI, we call them utilities. We see what we need. Our conditioning shows us what we need to stay safe and get love. So we hold back anger, hurt, or sadness, and that keeps us safe and gets us love and approval. And we identify with stuff that's false, but that gets us love and approval, and we stay safe from the buried stuff. So being must include that, seeing that. If being includes suffering that continues in that way, then that's fine. But we shouldn't water this spiritual thing down by continuing to say, well, the point is just to be with your suffering. Of course it is. Because as I've gone through, can I go through this again, please? So, because I want to keep saying it, because I think that once people see it, it'll probably be clear why I'm saying it. Which is, there we have these options. I'm going to actually invite you to the next segment so I can explain it from beginning. And we can get to this question of the radical truth of being. It's funny that I've titled a podcast like this, because I bet some people came to be just radically pointed to presence or being, thinking that's radical. And I hope that I'm going to, well, my point here is to completely destroy that for you. Stay tuned. If I point to being in a seemingly radical way by saying, no matter what arises and falls, you hear a thought happening, just notice it. Feeling. Notice that. Another thought, everything coming and going. See that? But at the same time, being remains. The felt sense of being, or whatever you want to feel into that or notice that, but being or presence doesn't come and go. Always just being. Here now. But, so that orients us to that. Being here. Being. That's good. But, in what way does that not show us something? In what way is that not radical at all, but is actually self-protective? Because we don't ever stop, many of us, in these teachings and practices, to ask the question, but this stuff that's coming and going, why is it coming and going and being? Because we think maybe that if I just can be, allow it all, that it'll all stop, that all the suffering will end. Maybe some people don't care. Some people just want to be with their suffering for however long, forever, or with some form of suffering. But being pointed back to how being doesn't come and go, no matter what does come and go, can also be a very self-protective state when it comes to repression. Because from in that scenario, that context, that pointing, that there's no mention of the fact of how repression that's hidden in the body is producing all the stuff coming and going and being. I don't think that's radical. To hide the ball or to not know that the ball is there and therefore to keep it hidden from oneself. So just being here, it just really calls into question, why are we in spirituality? Why are we here? To be taught to be pointed back to being, it's important. But why are we here? Like, what are we doing? What if we've come here to end the suffering, but we're creating it, and we're just using being and other things like that to never really get to see that we're creating it? Maybe we use spirituality in different ways to avoid that, and we don't know it, though. Well, I know that we do, and I think most people know that have been around for a while. The key is, can you catch yourself doing that? Best way to catch yourself, are you still suffering? Because if you're still suffering, there's a way to go to suffering that's happening in any moment that's being generated from repression and to connect it back to repression, and that suffering then is optional. It can just go away. Not because you tried to get it to go away, but because you got to the root of it in that moment. So if there's suffering happening in your life, lingering around, you're not able to transmute that, or that's probably an indicator that you are unconscious to that repression and that you don't know that you're creating that. You, there's no you. There's no you in being anywhere. You'll never find a you or a separate self. But when I say you, it means programming within your experience that's buried. You might call it a sensation. You might say, it's just my back, or it's this energy. Contained within that and unconscious and hidden may very well be the root of your suffering. So being a lot is used to sort of be with. See that? Be with. And there's like a duality there, isn't there? To be with something. It's not just language. A little bit of it is just how we language it, to be with. Because in experience, it's not really someone or something or awareness being with something else. It's much more direct when we allow something. Right? So if I'm just sitting here as awareness and then there's a thought coming or a feeling, to just allow it directly, it can feel very direct and then it just falls away. I just let it be. But never in that scenario is there, why is that coming up? All right, it's not even analytical. This is not for the analytical mind. It's just a way to get to the root of suffering. You don't ask it that way. Why is it coming up? But you learn inquiry and you find out that, oh, I'm sitting here producing suffering and then I'm allowing it or not. So here's our options are in spiritual practice, as I was saying, I always want to come back to, I think I said that, is just being, coming back to being. Suffering arises, stuff comes up in being. There can either be a resistance of that, which is just more suffering. So in other words, let's say, I'm really sad about something. by resisting the sadness, it makes it worse. I feel worse. That's not a great option. Let's say suffering arises and I want to change it. So now, instead of getting to the root of why the suffering is coming or seeing that I'm creating it, I want to change my own creation, but I don't know it. That's what a lot of people do from a certain state of consciousness, is something arises, they want to change it. They don't see yet that they've created it for safety and to get love and approval. If they were conscious of that, they wouldn't just try to change what they have created. They would get to the, well, it wouldn't arise anymore. Okay, so, but if you try to change it, then you're trying to change your own creation. At best, you're just going to feel better. You're not going to get to the source of the suffering to end it. The other thing that people can do, or one can do, is when something comes up, suffering arises, you neutralize it or regulate. I think this is where nervous system regulation comes in. So there's anxiety. And instead of getting to why the anxiety is there, which is you may be holding this emotion back, again, repression, buried in the body, you want to neutralize or regulate the anxiety, anxious feeling. And you do something, some technique, grabbing this or doing that, or to regulate this system, or which is fine. But you're regulating or neutralizing your own creation. And you're not conscious to that yet. So you're doing the best that you can with that level of consciousness. But you can go deeper than that. That's certainly an option. But it's only because you don't know you're creating it, or why or how. If you knew, it would be different. That's a lot of work to do throughout your life, is managing suffering in that way. Another option is what I call the Eastern practice option, at least good Eastern practices. And this is a better option than the previous ones, which is, okay, here comes suffering, let it be. Just let it be as it is. Whatever it is. Whatever feeling, thought, sensation, state, whatever words, pictures in the mind, let it all be. See it, let it be. That's, again, seems like a good option until you consider that would create the suffering, though. So we're sitting here allowing what we create. That's better than resisting it. That's better than trying to change it. I think that's better than regulating it. We're just letting it be. And that's actually healthier than all those other options, I think. And I think there's even science behind that, that to allow anxious thoughts can reduce anxiety. To hold anxious thoughts back can make it worse. Or to resist them once they arise, or feelings. But once we know we're creating it, we can get to the root of suffering, where we're creating it. If we don't know that, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't know how. We wouldn't understand that. Those emotions would be buried. So this wouldn't even necessarily make sense completely. But it may, even if you haven't started this work. And if you know that, then being takes on a different... It's still just being, presence, but to just sit and allow it all when you don't know how and where and why in your body, you're creating that. Don't you want to discover that? Or you want to use being to sort of just fall asleep in a way in that, and ignore that, and continue to just be with suffering? Well, you'll have to be with suffering for as long as suffering arises anyway. I mean, unless you want to resist it, try to change it, get rid of it, or neutralize it. Yeah, so trying to get rid of it doesn't make any sense either. That's another option. try to get rid of what we create. But allow it at least. That's what I say to people. Have an awareness practice when you're not doing 3D KI. Pick the option of allowing what is. Whatever arises, let it be within awareness. But the better practice is to get to the repression. That's where the suffering is created, that level. That's the 3D KI work. And when you bring that in to the experience of just being and allowing throughout the day, now you're on the process of ending suffering. You're not just being and allowing so that you feel okay, that you're at peace. Because there are people who are at peace who are just anger repressors. That's why they're seeking peace. That's why they are at peace, because they're terrified of the anger that's buried. Don't let that be your own only marker. That's just feeling better, perhaps, or neutralizing something. Look for the end of suffering, not as a carrot in the future, but as how you are still producing it in the moment. Look at the suffering right now, whatever it may be. Learn how to go to the repression right now that's producing it right now. Being, here and being. That's what real inquiry is. It's all being. But there's a process there so that the mind doesn't use being to stay safe from what's buried and then continue suffering, which is what the system is developed to do, is to suffer. That's what it will continue doing until being is embodied, until it goes all the way down and it's felt and seen everywhere and through the body, the chakra areas, the core, where there's chronic pain or whatever, that anything created by the trauma and repression, especially. Then it's being, because it's embodied. But before then, you can just trust that when teachers point to being, if I'm still suffering, if there's suffering in being, I can do something more than just be with my suffering. Yes, that's what I can do when I don't have the tools to get to the root of it, the creating of it. But I can be with it in the other times, or that's a good practice, but then I'm going to go to inquiry. It's so cool because you actually take ownership of your life. Like, if you have a trigger here, you know how to go to the repression that gets to the root of it. There's your chronic pain. You come into inquiry to see those two markers, that relief. You go over here. Ah, you're feeling this depression come up. But then you see, oh, there's the repression again. You go into process. You actually meet yourself in all those areas so that being, I don't even want to say it. Stay tuned for what I was about to say. You know, repression is where you go along with anger repression. And after my first book, where I really expressed what realization was for me in direct experience, I fell in line with, or I went along with, how other teachers were pointing to presence. I didn't talk about that in my first book. But in pointing to presence in the way that other teachers did, or talking about it the way they did, I wasn't being true to myself. I also didn't realize there was such a loop of a bypass in that, in this way. Well, in a lot of different ways. But the relational bypass is that people would come and sit with me. And I wasn't a teacher that was big on, you guys, some of you would be laughing right now if you knew me, that people don't come and sit with me. I don't do that, where you sit with me. And by sitting with me, you recognize yourself, and we're just going to sit there in silence together. I mean, I've done that so many times. I won't do that anymore because it so much repression hides in the silence and hides in the pointing. So the repression and trauma is what's creating so much suffering in our relationships. But yet when I was doing the pointing, it was always when people would be pulling away from their wife or husband or their jobs and coming to my meeting or my retreat, away from everything. And then, yeah, I can point you to presence. That's not hard to do in an environment like that, because your wife's not there, and your husband and your parents, they're buried in your body. And so the pointing never brings it up. So the trauma lies dormant buried in your body in a contraction or contractions. And I point to the presence in which your suffering comes and goes. But we don't get to the root of the suffering in that kind of pointing, because that's hidden conditioning. All we can do is point to presence. So even not being one of those teachers that people would come to just to sit with and being, I mean, we did that, but I didn't focus on that. Still, people came for that reason, you know, and trying to get away from their relationships and their life, escape the human life, get pointed to being, but then it wasn't sustainable because that dormant trauma and repression conditioning would be activated when they would go back to their wife or their husband or their job. So there's this bypass going on in that. And then when they were coming here, people were dysregulated and traumatized in their relationships and in their life. And when they came to sit with me, the pointing also regulated their nervous system, which is another way of saying made them feel better temporarily. And that was part of that bypass. But because we weren't getting to the root of the suffering, for many people, the seeking remained. The seeking to know what I am, what you are. And because until that's recognized there and embodied, there's this sense of, on some level, distress and suffering. So that's what would drive people back, but pointing to presence didn't end the suffering. And it was certainly not enough for them to end the suffering in their relationships. That's why I say, instead of you coming, keep coming back and I give you fish each day and you eat, meaning you recognize presence in that moment, and you keep coming back for fish, here's all the tools that I know that end the suffering. I'm teaching you how to fish for a lifetime. So you might have to come back for a while to learn the lesson of how to fish, how to inquire, but once you have it, you don't have to come back to me or anyone else to discover what you are. It's going to be revealed in your experience as you get to the root of suffering, and that work happens in presence itself. To support yourself is a beautiful thing, because we could never do that as kids. We could never trust ourselves to really allow our experience to be as it is. And we're not going to do that as adults with repression by just being pointed to being, because the repression that's buried doesn't arise. So we can't be with those emotions by just being and allowing. We can't be with the parts of ourselves that are buried. But those parts are producing the suffering that we're being with as we're pointed to being. So it's like, if you can see that we're creating our own suffering unconsciously, and then we're just being and being with it. Here, we're saying, no, we're going to where we create the suffering. We're going to the root of the suffering where we're creating it. And instead of just being, we're being, but we're allowing what we previously buried. It's an inquiry that makes the unconscious conscious, which means the parts of ourselves that previously felt unsafe get processed into awareness safely. And the suffering that those buried emotions create can then go away. Not because we're trying to get suffering to go away, but because we're adding something into awareness. The parts of ourselves that we buried. And because whenever you hold back what's true, you're forced to identify with what's false. There's the root of our suffering, repression. Now, if there isn't much else to say about, I don't think that just the relational bypass, if you can just see that your suffering started in relationship with mom and dad, family, school. That's how you developed into an ego, because you couldn't feel and express everything that was true for you. You couldn't be what you are. Then, of course, as an adult, you're looking for yourself. And I'm just saying, we can't just point you to what you are. We can point you to the basic awareness in which your suffering is coming and going. But the inquiries get to the root of suffering. And that corrects that relational bypass. The inquiries do. Because it becomes a relational modality. You bring the inquiry into your relationships. And that ends that bypass. It also ends the bypass of just not bringing non-duality or awareness into the body. Because it's a somatic approach that gets to repression, which is the stuff in your body that's producing the suffering in relationship. It's interesting that as someone who doesn't point to presence, I sit here more fulfilled and feeling more authentic about it and really, really being okay with all of that. Like even with being a teacher, even though it's not real. What I didn't feel comfortable with, but I could not put words to, was the pointing to being only. The first dimension stuff. And what I can articulate is the second dimension inquiries just didn't get to repression. And that's why a lot of those didn't work for people. People bypassed even with second dimension inquiry, if you know what that is, where you prompt things up. Not to rapid fire them like we do in KI, third dimension, which gets to repression, but prompting things up. Second dimension, things that wouldn't otherwise arise in being. So that would just be feeling into the body and saying, what does this energy have to say right now? And let's say what comes up is, I don't want to feel this. And you just allow that. Those words and that energy, you prompted those up by that inquiry. That's second dimension. What makes it second dimension is that you're prompting something up that wouldn't otherwise arise in presence or being, and you're just allowing it from or within presence. First dimension is just being and allowing whatever here, whatever is already here, we're not prompting anything up. The reason I went into such detail there is because that's another way to explain this, that if we're just going to be with what is, we're being with what's safe. So I can point to being and presence, and even though there's suffering that arises in presence, this suffering is safer, according to the conditioning at least, than what we've buried. So of course it's fairly accessible to recognize that being, that sense of being, when all we're having to do is to be with what's safer than what's buried. Of course, there's part of the bypass because we don't have to get to the stuff we buried. There's the safety. And we're being, which is what realization is all about, but we're not embodying it. That's the issue. And so we're being with stuff that's safer. And if, okay, so isn't that enough? Can't we just go back to our relationships and just be with what is? With whatever arises. Yes, but it's safer than what you've buried. And that's why it's arising. Repression produces suffering. So if you look, the 3D inquiry is so integral to being. Because if being here doesn't feel safe, then it's not really being. It's a state of self-protection, unconscious as it is. Until we deal with the repression, being is not what it sounds like. We're in various states, trauma-produced states, responses, reactions, repression, that it's just going on, regardless of how many times or we're pointed to being, or even if we've recognized present being. that doesn't stop the repression from producing suffering. Look at all the teachers that are sick, have chronic pain, are involved in some issue or scandal or something, or cheating on their wife or something. That is just not a coincidence. The fact that we don't talk about it doesn't make it not repression or shame, because that's what repression and shame is we don't talk about it. We don't, but we have to, because the science is pointing glaringly to us, to all people, and saying repression is a driver of a lot of suffering. So it could be that the diseases that we get are also the same repression that drives everybody else's suffering, or the stuff that we do. So being and processing repression, to me, go hand in hand. It's like saying you could have, you know, the sky without the blue. I mean, you can, but I'm trying to make a point here. Two things that go together. All right. Stay tuned. I have a little bit more. Well, being and processing go together, because what's the point of being if you can't be yourself? And it's not a response to say that there is no self. I agree. There's repression. So without including those emotions that we've buried, there cannot be authenticity in our experience or even vulnerability. So those are aspects of being, just like power and other qualities that we have to experience the embodied being, which is our authentic self. It's not a separate self. It's not a story or an idea or a belief. Our authentic self is what we are. And we bring those parts of ourselves that are buried online so that the suffering that that produces can go away. But, you know, well, what does it have to do with being and processing? Take for example someone who has ADHD-like symptoms. It doesn't matter whether they're diagnosed. If you point to being for those people, they have to monitor, unconsciously have to monitor their experience, their own emotional system, their surroundings, because that's what they've been doing their whole life. You know, like when dad was angry and they had to pay attention to footsteps or whatever else, it creates that attention issue. And that's what their main agenda is. It's not being and allowing everything. It's being and monitoring everything. Or someone with chronic pain, if we say just be, of course, that's the beginning of that. But then if we say that's all you have to do, just allow that chronic pain, that ignores the fact that in that chronic pain is this fear, terror of anger or hurt, that the chronic pain is created by a repression that's hidden. If we don't process that repression, that pain remains. And so we can just say we're being with pain. Yeah, but and we can even rename it and say, oh, even the pain is just really a sensation. Or the sensation is none other than the being and the presence. But no, it still hurts like hell because there's repression there. And repression is identification. It's the holding back of something, being afraid and resisting some emotion, bearing it. That produces pain. It also produces identification, repression does. It's safer to be something, you know, like to be good, to be peaceful, kind, than it is to feel and express buried anger. So, someone with chronic pain, to point just to being, leaves them, like it did me, in a state where you can't heal, you can't embody the presence, because just being with a lot of pain, in my case. Or like someone with depression, pointing to being, but not pointing to the fact that they're unconsciously, like with the chronic pain, creating that depression by holding certain emotions back. It isn't skillful then, in my view, to say just be with what you're calling depression, because the system's unconsciously producing it. to manage safety. There needs to be more skillfulness there. Right? We can't just be and allow. We're not allowing. We're allowing what's safe, what our systems have produced to keep us safe from what we've buried. But when being includes processing, being includes being yourself. Because you're processing the parts. Here you are. We're processing repression, which are the parts of ourself that are buried that create the false identification and the suffering. That processing brings us into the recognition of presence. If we take it deep enough, the embodiment of it, though, is where it goes. And that's different than the recognition. Anyone can recognize that there's presence here, because presence is here. But to live that, to embody that, to allow it all, even the parts, no, that's something totally different. And that's actually what being is the allowing of it all. And you can't do that with repression. Not until you process what you've buried. How are you going to allow or be with or even be? There's no way around this if you look at it. You can't just say, well, I'm going to be, and that's all there is. Because what's the point of being? I mean, look, I know it, there's no point to it. I'd realize that. That would be of the mind. I'm not saying it that way. I'm saying, why did we come here? Why do we want to be pointed to being if this weren't the recognition of what we are and we end the suffering and then live? That, to me, is the point of being. Is the end of suffering, not as a carrot, that's the mind, but as an experiential realization where you get to the root of repression. You process in being, the suffering ends, and then what's left is being, but it's embodied. And then it's not being used as a state. The conditioning will use anything, including being, to self-protect. Even when it says, like, well, I don't want to process repression. See, that self-protect, this inquiry thing is only for egos. Self-protect, what are you protecting? Where does that come from? Does that come from nowhere? No, that comes from repression. We don't want to feel something. But when you really, really look at it, then this is where authenticity, all my podcasts end with that, thankfully, because that's what's important, is it, the end of suffering sounds so big, but it just means being yourself, like being able to feel and express what's true. That just happens to be an experience where you don't experience separation anymore, because how could you? If the separation was coming from years of holding emotion back and contracting in the face of relationship, because you couldn't be yourself, and then the production of false identity in relationship and suffering, of course, that when you get to the root of that suffering, this is what you really are. Embodied, though, and that's the difference. And that makes all the difference. And, you know, I never would promise, I don't have the authority to promise curing diseases or anything like that. This is a discovery, if you're interested, to see... to see and discover what you are. I mean, no one can do that for you. I was going to go in a different direction, but I thought, how could anyone do that for you? If you really think about it, speaking of teachers pointing to being, I mean, it's a setup, because in your own system is hidden programming in the body. And the moment you look out to the teacher, you miss the programming. So if the teacher doesn't point to the programming that creates your suffering, you're probably trauma bonding, maybe even with the teacher, staying safe and getting love, for example, or with the teaching, because you're not aware of the repression driving things. So from a teacher's perspective, if I don't point to that, well, it's the same bypass. That's why processing has to be a part of being. But when people process the repression, they don't really care to be pointed to being. That's what I notice. Maybe a little bit, some do, but a lot don't. In fact, a lot of those pointers, they don't have any room for them in their lives because they're just too busy being themselves. And that feels very real for them, very experiential. And it's presence. But without all that, because they went to the parts of themselves that created the suffering. That's what they're doing. And that's why they're experiencing being. It's so ironic, you know. You process and you experience the very thing that was always being pointed to. You would think that we could just be pointed to and we wouldn't have to process, but that's what the repression wants us to think. That's what keeps us safe. See how the bypass works? We don't want to have to feel anything to experience what we are. We just want to experience what we are, some of us, many of us. But if you see how they have to go together, because your system is designed, developed not to embody this being. It's here for self-protection and survival, separation. Then you've got to contend with that from the beginning, I think. That you're dealing with that kind of conditioning and it's hidden in your body and it needs to be processed if you're interested in recognizing being and living from what you are. If you haven't started on this path and you want to, you can always go to killaby.com and scroll to the bottom of the page. There's the free repression test that shows you the parts of yourself that you hold back, which gets you started on the path, actually. And we'll show you how. I also put a link to that test in the description section here of this episode. I'm also going to put a link to this is our first online retreat. It starts fairly soon in May, I think May 4th. This is our first online retreat explaining and demonstrating and doing and showing this work to people, actually. So it's an experiential workshop, 3 days spaced apart in May online. We're going to teach you this work. There's that link also. Thank you for listening.